Hi, Lisa Goldberg, nutritionist and weight loss coach here. And thank you for coming to the Right Way to Weight Loss Summit. I'm so happy to have you here today. And today I am here with Lauren Sanchez. Lauren is a holistic health practitioner. And today we're going to talk about holistic habits for your best energy and dream body. But before we get into that exciting conversation, Lauren, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here with you.
I am excited too. So before we kind of talk about habits and mindset and, you know, sustainable weight loss, tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do and maybe even what got you into the work that you're doing.
Yeah. So I love this part of interviews because I feel like a lot of times, you know, we can get in our heads thinking we're the only one who's experiencing something. Especially when we look at maybe like an influencer or an expert or what have you, and you're like, oh my gosh, the way that they live their life is so unrelatable. But that was a process, that was a journey, and I'm absolutely no different. A lot of us in this space tend to say like we make our mess our message, and that was absolutely my story too. So for me, it all started with really the three big culprits that I teach women about now, unbeknownst to myself then, because I didn't have the education and experience behind me at that point. But I had crazy hormonal dysbiosis, gut dysbiosis all over the map. But I was at a point in my life where I was like, go, go, go. Like we're working, we're hustling. We are doing all the things. I was teaching. I was double majoring in college with extra credits. So like more classes than anyone should be taking. I was working full time. So I was just doing all of the things, which I know a lot of people can relate to, all of the juggling and all the hats that we wear in life. And so I was pushing hard and my body was like, nope, this is not going to work for us. Now, mind you, I grew up eating in a way, a lot of people have this story too, in a way that was really not conducive to supporting my energy and supporting that drive that I had and all of those fun things. So my diet was sucky. My understanding of how my body worked, terrible. And then I had all of these things going on underneath the surface as well. So for me, big thing was anxiety was huge for me. And anyone who knows me knows that's just not me at all. So like my mood was low. I had crazy bits of anxiety. I also was developing terrible cystic adult acne all around the jawline, tall tale sign of hormonal dysbiosis, all around the jawline. I was so embarrassed. I stopped going to class. That's how embarrassed I was. It's so funny when I look through photos too, you see there's this big gap where there's not a whole lot of photos of Lauren. But yeah, all of these little things just started popping up in my life and my experience and my body. And then being, you know, a active person for most of my life, things started to catch up with me in terms of my weight too. So I started getting little belly bulges and all of those different things that just started kind of happening. Now for me back in that time, one of my majors, my double major was business and theater. So different, right? Mm-hmm. But one of my majors was theater. And so the acne for me was the biggest thing. I was like, I have to solve this. I have to figure this out. I have to be able to go out on stage or be on camera or what have you. And so I was like, I'm going to double down. I, you know, fix my acne and have clear skin and we'll worry about these other things later type of thing. Not realizing that all of these things are connected. So, I, you know, went out, saw all of these different specialists, rubbing all these creams on my face, trying all of these different modalities. There was a point in time where I had like hundreds of dollars worth of supplements and I was just throwing spaghetti at the wall, trying to figure out what's going on really with my skin at that moment, not realizing, like I said, that everything's connected. But when I was seeing all of these specialists, whether they were estheticians or dermatologists or what have you, nobody ever asked me, what's your stress level like? What's your sleep like? How is your diet? And all of these different things that highly play a role and control these different outcomes that I was experiencing. And so I was sick of it. I was like, I don't want to spend all this money on these supplements. They're not really doing anything for me. Now I'm a huge proponent of supplements, but because I know how to work them. But I was like, let's throw that out the door. I'm sick of going and visiting these specialists who are making these promises to me saying that we can clear this up for you and what have you. And things weren't changing. So I was like, I'm going to take this into my own hands. Kind of like a lot of practitioners get, we're like, I'm going to take this into my own hands and I'm going to solve the issue for myself. And I went to the library because that's what you did back then. And I picked up a book by Dr. Jessica Wu. And that was really the catalyst for me. So I picked up a book called Feed Your Face. And I really started to understand the connection between diet and lifestyle and stress and all of these different things on our outward appearance. Like your skin is just letting you know what's going on within. And so that's kind of how I got into all of this, was really opening up that book. And then my mind was kind of just blown and open. So I'm the type of person, once I learn something that maybe can open up a door for me, I'm like all in with educating myself on that thing. And so that's what I did. I was able to get rid of the belly bulge, get rid of, you know, the acne, get rid of the, you know, just the moodiness and not feeling like myself, the low energy, which again, not like me whatsoever. So all of the things I was able to resolve just by doing the things that we're going to talk about today. So it doesn't have to be this crazy complicated thing. That's how I kind of got into all of this. Then I went back and to school, changed my whole, you know, vocation and career direction and path and all that fun stuff. Interesting, because I do still get to use obviously the business side of things and the theater side of things, not so much, but it definitely helps me be more comfortable on camera, just having that experience too. But that's kind of how I got into all of this. And just got fired up, passionate about helping people, like, oh my gosh, you can do this too. Like, once you figure it out for yourself, you just want to, you want to give back to people. And so that's kind of how I got into all of this.
So, you know, you said something while you were speaking, you said something like you threw a lot of spaghetti at the wall. I can't imagine how many people are listening who have struggled with their weight or have struggled with something like acne or have struggled with fatigue or have struggled with something, right? And this is about the right way to weight loss. So it's not about like trying the quick fixes, right? Or just like those quick weight loss things, or just kind of like starving yourself for a period of time just to hit your goal. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more that goes on within us, right? Mind, body, soul connection. And you talked about hormonal dysbiosis and gut dysbiosis. And can you explain a little bit, especially for the women listeners out there, when you talk about hormonal dysbiosis that contributed to the acne, and the gut probably contributed to that as well, what is that exactly, right? Because I think women sometimes feel like, well, maybe my hormones are out of whack, but they're not sure exactly what that means for them.
Yeah. So that's a huge question, because the endocrine system is so complex. It does so many things in the body and the gut. Where do we even start? Right. But essentially, mine was really, really driven by those high elevated levels of cortisol, which can start the cascade of inflammation in the body and all of those different sort of things. And then on top of that, with the way that I was eating, my body wasn't able to release toxins properly, digest things properly, not properly absorbing the nutrients that I was eating from, you know, maybe those foods that were healthy at the time for me, and fixing, you know, fixing these things within myself was, really led to a lot of a poor relationship with food, I'll say. So I've tried all of the things too, the diets, the weight loss pills and shakes and teas and all of those things as well too, but none of that is tapping into the hormonal side of things. And if it is tapping into the hormonal side of things, depending on what it is that you're taking, it's not doing you any favors there. And so, for me, I mean, hormone dysbiosis can manifest and produce, you know, outcomes in the body that are myriad. For me, the acne that kind of came up was very closely related to the stress that I was feeling, the inability to let go of and release toxins, and the poor sleep, which is also very much so tied to how we respond with stress, our eating habits, all of the things. So.
Gotcha. So I want to tie this back for everybody who's listening. So Lauren said a lot of really important words. One of those things she talked about, cortisol, right? Which is our stress hormones. And when our cortisol is elevated, right? All sorts of not good things happen, right? And so can you speak into cortisol and stress and how mindset, because you know, that's my favorite topic. One of my favorite topics is mindset. How does mindset, what's the importance of mindset when it comes to sustainable weight loss, you know, managing your stress levels? I mean, could you speak into that a little bit? Because I feel like mindset is everything.
It is everything. And it's so funny because a lot of times we take the rock star areas of our life. Like I work with a lot of women who are rock stars in so many areas of their life. It's just this one where they kind of struggle and they need support and help. And I know you do too. And so those same characteristics, those same principles, those same, you know, traits that you have where you're excelling in those areas of life, we get to loop that in with the mindset side or the weight loss side of things as well too. So for example, let's say you are a corporate executive or you are, you know, in the corporate world or what have you, that same tenacity, that same get up and go after something breaks down type of thing. Like we get to loop those things into our health journey as well too. So I'll say that. And then another thing too, is like, that's where everything starts. Like your mindset is where everything starts. It is, man, this is such, it's such a big topic, as you know, but that's where everything starts. You have to one, make the decision. Am I going to change? What do I want to change? What's the outcome that I even am looking for? The vision that I'm going towards. If you don't have that, it's really easy to get lost in the mess of the health and weight loss industry. There's so much information out there. And so if you don't start with what exactly it is that you want, it's really easy to get, you know, just tossed into all of that and trying all the things. And as I said earlier, starting to throw that spaghetti at the wall and just trying things that you saw on TikTok or Instagram or what have you. So getting clear on what exactly it is that you want is huge. And I'll say we start there in terms of mindset. Then we'll transition. And I'll talk about this too, when we talk about like transitioning eating habits, because that's a huge component. Mindset's huge when we're talking about transitioning those eating habits. But then the other thing you also want to just get super clear on. And my biggest thing with mindset is the curiosity, the judgment-free curiosity. Mm-hmm. Why did I react this way? Why did I think this? Where did this belief come from? Why do I feel like I need to eat dessert after dinner? Is it because I grew up that way? Is it because just get curious about the habits that you have, and judgment free too, I think is huge. Like there is no supporting yourself. There's no moving yourself forward if you're beating yourself up the whole way through. Like right. We don't want to do that. So taking that into your journey as well too, because a lot of times, especially when it comes to eating, we've been doing things a certain way for decades. And so it's not going to be a flip of the switch. Like I just changed something. Now it's changed for forever. We have to have that mindset that this is a long-term solution. You were mentioning like, this is the right way to weight loss summit. So we're not trying any quick fixes. I think just having the paradigm shift around that is huge. Right. Or in that conversation of mindset. Also having that mindset shift around, this is not something that I'm going to start and I'm going to finish. There's no finish line when we are 100%. Taking back control of our health. Like we are leading up to just getting better. Just essentially, how do I say this? You are working up to a healthy lifestyle. Really, that's what we're building. I know that's such like a cliche thing. We hear like, it's a lifestyle, healthy lifestyle, hashtag lifestyle and what have you. But really, that's what it is. You're leading up to, you're creating a lifestyle. And you know, that lifestyle gets to be conducive to everything else that you're creating in your life. I think a lot of times we can see someone, I mentioned this when I was talking about my own story, how they're living, how they're thinking, you know, the results they're getting, and it's so unrelatable. Well, maybe they're doing things that just should not be in the way that you are addressing your health concerns at all. Maybe they are, you know, just have a different set of values from you. So it's really important to, I go back to what I said initially, that context, like have your own vision. Make sure that you are being curious about what's kind of going on within you, what's coming up for you during this process, because it is a process. And just realizing that there's no finish line to this. And once you, I know that might sound like kind of scary, especially if you're first starting, like, oh my goodness, there's no finish line. What? But as you start to develop these health habits, as you start to fuel your body properly in the way that it wants to and needs to and was created to be fueled, you change as a person. You no longer feel like you're that person, like, I need to have dessert after. I need to eat from the time that I wake up in the morning to the time that I go to bed. You change because how you're feeling changes, how you're thinking changes, how you're looking changes, your confidence changes, all of these things change. So there's no finish line, but that's actually a great thing.
Right.
So you're great at developing and getting better this whole time. So I know there was a lot of different nuggets about mindset, because like I said, it's a huge topic. It's one that I know you talk about a lot, one that I talk about a lot, and I'm sure it won't be the last time we mention it in this conversation.
Well, I mean, just talking about mindset, I was just on the phone with a client. We've worked together for quite some time. She's down over 40 pounds, and a friend noticed and said, you know, what diet are you on, or what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. And she's just like, you know, well, I worked on just changing my lifestyle. And I said to her, well, yes, I said, but first you worked on changing your thinking, right? You changed your thinking, because if you didn't change your thinking, you wouldn't be able to change your lifestyle.
Exactly.
Right. And so the mindset and changing your thinking is just so important to the process of change and sustainable weight loss, right? Because you just said, there's no finish line, because so many people who go on a diet to lose the weight, when they've lost the weight, or when they feel comfortable in their body, whether they hit their goal or not, I feel like the first thought in the head is, oh, I'm done. Now I can eat X.
Yes.
Right. Because in their mind, they're done, and they put an end on it. And then everything that they were doing for themselves that got them the results and the goals and the benefits that they wanted, they stopped doing.
Exactly.
Right.
And I love that you phrase it as doing for themselves. That's a really big paradigm shift that we get to have in all of this, is you're doing this for you.
Right.
Nobody can do it for you.
Right.
And a lot of times I hear women get into that mindset of thinking, oh my goodness, I cannot put myself first. Like, I have these kids that I have to take care of. I have this job that I have to, you know, excel in. I have all of these hats that I'm wearing. But again, that goes back to like, these healthy habits get to fit into your lifestyle, and you get to realize that taking care of yourself and doing these little things for yourself is probably one of the most altruistic things that you can do for the people who love you and depend on you, because then you're showing up as that energized person, as that person who's like grounded and, you know, in who she is, who's not reacting in a way that you're like, ooh, got to take that back, or ooh, not proud of that reaction that I had. Or things that you have to apologize for. Like, you're showing up as that person who really can be that support to the other people that you're worried about being the support to. And not to say that, because like I said, like, I work with women too, who they excel in so many areas of their life, but imagine how much better you could be if you were to excel in your health as well.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So like you said earlier, you work with like women who are successful women, and you know, most, if not all parts of my life, except for like the weight loss piece, right? How do I, you know, I could figure all of this out, right? I once had a client say, I could run a $7 million company, but I can't figure out how to lose weight and keep it off.
Right.
And so what I believe to be true is that when, you know, women were taught, whether it's in their education or in their jobs, they were taught the right way to do their jobs, to be successful at it. But when it comes to weight loss, the weight loss industry has taught everybody the wrong way and the wrong thinking, which is why it's hard to be successful at it.
Yes.
Right? Because you were never taught the right way, which is hence the point of this summit. So I want everybody to see that it's not just about calories, or, you know, following this diet, or cutting every single thing that you love to eat out of your diet, right? It's forming the healthy habits to have all the energy that you need. And so, Lauren, talk to me about common mistakes, right? Because that's a little bit of what we're talking about, the diet industry not teaching men and women, you know, the proper way, the real way, the sustainable way to lose weight. So what are some common mistakes that you see in your practice?
I love what you said earlier too. It reminded me of the quote from Oprah, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher it, but she goes about the, you know, the woman who's like, I can run a $7 million company, but can't figure this weight loss thing out. But I'm sure I'm going to butcher this Oprah quote, but she said something to the effect of, if there was a secret to weight loss out there, I would have found it. And she's someone who, you know, has openly struggled with her weight for a very long time. And she, you know, I don't think anyone would call Oprah unsuccessful, right? So if, you know, if there was a secret out there, you know, I'm sure we would know it by now. There's not a secret. But here's the thing though. The process of weight loss, or releasing that excess body weight, or getting to your ideal weight, reaching your weight loss goal, it really is just your body getting healthy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we get so fixated on the food and the exercise that we, and this is one of the first mistakes that I see, or one of the biggest mistakes that I see. We get so fixated on just those two things that we let everything else fall by the wayside. And when we do that, those two things are not working for us the way that we think that they are. For example, sleep. I talked about sleep. I love talking about sleep. And it's one of my favorite things to help women optimize, because the results you get are like, they're so quick and they're so good. But that's like a big hit and a miss. Like, we focus on these two things. And for example, sleep, if you're not sleeping properly, you are waking up with craving. I mean, when was the last time you didn't get a good night's sleep? Were you next morning reaching for an extra Starbucks? Were you reaching for a salad? Were you reaching for, a health food bar? Like, you're reaching typically for things that are not conducive to you getting to, your mm-hmm. optimal weight and your body just getting back into balance. So weight loss really is that process of getting back into balance. So that's a huge mistake that I see, is only focusing on those two things. Another big mistake is, you mentioned it earlier, cutting out all of the foods, demonizing macronutrients. I was speaking with Dr. Kian Vu the other day, and he was like, it's crazy the diet wars that we have going on right now. When really, like, whole foods, make sure you're not eating from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, and make sure you're staying hydrated and, not missing any of your nutritional marks. Like, it's really not complicated, but we're like, take out this, take out that, and that's going to help you, shrink down the quickest way possible. Like, that's not how the body works. Right. And we have to also make sure, this is another big mistake that I see. So we talked about, only focusing on food and fitness. And we also talked about demonizing macronutrients and taking out all of the foods that can really support you, like carbs, for example. You need fiber, like,
right. Correct.
Until they put so many things in the body. And then the other thing, or another myth that I see a lot, or mistake that I see people making a lot, is, so what did I talk about so far? I'm like, totally lost my train of thought. Demonizing the macronutrients, the diet wars,
sleep you talked about.
Yeah, we talked about the sleep side of things. Oh my goodness, I totally lost it. It'll come back to me though. But that's a big one too. It's like taking out the macronutrients, having these diet wars, and not just focusing on the foods that are proven to be best for our body, the anti-inflammatory foods, the, the cruciferous veggies, depending on what your state of gut health is, cooked or raw and what have you. But focusing on those foods, focusing on good, high quality proteins. You want to make sure you're getting good quality meat, if that's something that you're including in your diet, because that can be highly inflammatory, terrible for the gut. If you're not good at getting good quality meat. Also, we talked about hormones too, like the hormonal cascade that can happen after eating meat that has been pumped with hormones and is fed a diet that's not natural to them, and just all of these different things that can kind of happen. Those I would say are probably the biggest ones. Big three right there.
what about self-sabotage when it comes to weight loss?
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Right. Because the intention is, I want to lose weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear this a million times with my clients, I'm sure you do too, where you hear a client say, well, I started my day, I intended to be good, but by the end of the day, I kind of went off the rails, mm-hmm. right? Which is self-sabotage. You want something for yourself, but your actions are standing in your own way. So could you talk a little bit from your point of view, like, why does that happen, right? What is it about the human condition to a certain degree, mindset also, yep. that we want something so badly, but we prevent ourselves from getting it?
I think a lot of it has to come, or a lot of it comes from how we see ourselves. Because mm-hmm. you can't create something in your life that your mindset doesn't support. So if you see yourself as, we have these limiting beliefs that come up, cancer runs in my family, being overweight just runs in my family, diabetes just runs in my family, so I'm going to get that. And not to say that these markers aren't important for you to be aware of, but also things like, I've been overweight my whole life, I'm just going to be overweight. These limiting beliefs that we have that really have their origins and genesis in early childhood. So we may have grown up thinking we're not enough. And so we start to gorge and we don't realize like, why am I doing this? And this is why I say, we kind of started off this conversation with mindset. This is why I say it's so important to go into things with this judgment-free curiosity. Because a lot of these things, like we've been playing this game for our whole life. And 100%. So a lot of it's very subconscious. Most of it's very subconscious. We've been, you know, running this program for our entire life based on something, some type of trauma that happened in early years. And don't think of trauma as like, you know, oh, I had like sexual abuse or anything like that. Of course, that's trauma. But as a young person, so we're thinking ages 0 to 10 or 8, you are a sponge. You're taking in things, but you don't quite have that reasoning capacity yet. So something that you know, don't think as a trauma or would be a trauma as an adult version of yourself may have been a trauma for you in those earlier years. Let's say, for example, your mom left you in your crib and you're crying for too long, that imprints on you, you know, and it's like, how do we go back and, you know, kind of resolve some of those things? It starts with that mindset and realizing this is a habit that I have. Why do I have that? And just go into that, that judgment-free curiosity. And then a lot of times too, we can talk about, I tend to teach the 3 P's of changing your eating.
Uh-huh. I was going to ask you about that. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is the perfect time to kind of talk about that. Like we don't realize that the body has a process. And we talk about that all of the time. And that's a product of, you know, all of the fast marketing, the quick clickbait and all of those things out there. But we have to understand the body has a process. It's going to be very difficult for you to release excess body weight. It's going to be very difficult for you to not engage in that self-sabotage or not let that kind of take over if you don't start with these 3 P's. So that first P is your psychology. So we've talked a lot about mindset, right? And I'm sure, like I said, we'll continue to talk about that as we progress here, but changing that psychology. And again, that is all about that judgment-free curiosity. Then the second P is your physiology. So I talk about the 3 biggest culprits also that sabotage women's health and weight loss success. That's going to be that chronic low-grade inflammation, that's that gut dysbiosis, and that's that hormonal dysbiosis, all things that were present in my story when I first started. But you have to change your physiology. So if you are like I said, if you have that gut, if you have any of those 3 culprits, we'll just start there. If you have any of those 3 culprits, it's going to be very, very difficult for the body to release excess weight because it's worried about putting out all of these other fires. So it's worried. I always tell people, your body is worried about keeping you alive. It does not care about how cute you look in your summer dress or your bikini.
So psychology, physiology, and what was the 3rd P?
So physiology, I'm still there. So that's things like, you know, what's your blood sugar doing? What is the state of your gut? Do you have more of the, you know, bacteria that's not conducive to you actually shedding that weight? And you have more of the bacteria that's conducive to you actually holding on to weight or having more sugar cravings. So that's like the physiology side of things. And then we have the patterns. So patterns would be things like one of my favorite patterns to teach people is like my framework for creating and crafting your meals. But I like to have, you have a healthy protein, a healthy carb, and a healthy fat in every meal that you eat. And that's going to be best for your blood sugar regulation and your mood stability, energy, stability all throughout the day as well too. So, that's the patterns. And that's one of my favorite ones to teach to people. So I'll leave that there, but yes, psychology, physiology, and patterns. Got to address those 3 things. We got to look at those 3 things in order to be successful in changing our eating habits. And also remember, I really want to add a 4th P, that's patience. Like you have to be patient with yourself because like I said, it's not a flip of a light switch because we've been running the same program. We've been doing the same things for a vast majority of our lives.
So I think that's part of the self-sabotage, right? The not having patience.
Yes. 100%, 100%. And then I think that also plays into, we just don't understand how the body works. So like I was mentioning with inflammation, I'm sorry, the dog's barking.
It's okay.
Like I was mentioning with inflammation, it's going to be very, very hard. Or we can even go back into what we were talking about earlier with cortisol. So when you're going through a stress response, the body's releasing cortisol. It's also mobilizing glucose into your bloodstream. So it's kind of like you're eating a meal when you're stressed that you didn't really eat. Because you're getting that blood coming, or that glucose getting back into the blood. And then insulin has to come alongside and do its job to shuttle all of that energy that you're not using. You're probably, you know, you could be sitting at your desk, you know, typing an email that's really stressing you out. There's no cyber tooth, you know, tiger chasing you like our stress response was, you know, originally set up to help us through. So there's that energy that's being fueled into your system that insulin then, and this is why we demonize insulin. It's just doing its job, but insulin then has to store that energy. And when you're sedentary, where is that going? When you're not lean, where is that going?
Right. Well, insulin is a, you know, they say insulin's a fat storing hormone, right? So we don't want it surging in our body.
We want it working properly. Yeah.
Right. And like what you said, you know, your recommendations for how people should fuel, you know, protein, fats, carbs at all of their meals, which is why you don't want to demonize carbohydrates, because we need it for fuel, for our muscles, for our brains, just, you know. And, you know, when, and I get that the minute people stop eating them, what they really lose really quickly is water weight more than anything else. Right. And maybe a little
inflammation,
right. And maybe a little lean muscle, which we need to keep our metabolisms, you know, burning and turning. Mm-hmm. And so there's so much misinformation out there, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have this conversation, right. Because it's really important for people to understand, there's more to weight loss than just finding the diet and losing weight, right? There's so much more to pay attention to and being willing to be calm and consistent. And I think you also speaking to a framework for being able to stay consistent. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I love this one too. I'm all about like just being super practical for people because at the end of the day, we can, you know, say all of the science, say all of the research, but what can you do with it if you don't understand how it actually fits into your life? And so my framework for like building in that consistency is, I call it failure barriers. So we put up barriers in place so that when things don't necessarily go our way, or we're really, really tempted to not do the workout or not eat, you know, what we prepped for ourselves or what have you, you have your failure barriers in place to kind of keep you, it's kind of like bowling, you know, you have your guardrails, you keep on the right path here. And so basically I like to have people start with looking at where is this area of my life? Where is this area of my health journey where I'm really, really struggling? Then we want to look at, why am I struggling with this? Then we want to look at, what are some really like cheat codes and things that I can implement or add in, or even sometimes take away too, that would make this easier for me? So the failure barriers are all about making it harder to not do the thing that you don't want to do, and easier to do the thing that, you know, you want to do to better your state of health. So that's what that's all about, figuring out, you know, where am I struggling? And I always highly recommend to people, start with one thing at a time. Don't try to do this huge overhaul. Don't try to, you know, implement failure barriers in every single area of your life that you are struggling. And a good thing about them too, is they can be used, of course, on the health side of things, but they can also be used in just life in general too. If you're looking to create something, where am I struggling? Why am I struggling there? And what can I put in place to make that struggle minimized or non-existent? So that could be something like support. That could be something like putting your alarm clock, you know, away from you, so you actually have to get up out of bed to go get the thing. That could be something as simple as meal prep. That's a really big one. And that's another one where you see people, they're like, I don't want to meal prep because I don't want to spend hours in the kitchen, or I don't want to cook all these meals. I don't like, you know, I've had people also say things like, I don't like reheated meals and things like that. Make it your own. Like, make it your own. If you don't want to spend hours in the kitchen, maybe it looks like just chopping up your fruits and veggies, getting them washed and stored so they're easy to grab and cook. Maybe it's doing a full-blown meal prep. Maybe it's just prepping, you know, your snacks or things that you can grab if you're someone who incorporates or includes snacks. So make things work for you. Make them make sense for how you live your life. That context is everything, because it can be so discouraging trying to fit yourself into someone else's box.
Yeah, 100%. So it's what works for you. And while consistency is super important, mm-hmm. you have to be able to discern being consistent, but you don't need to be perfect.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be perfect, because oftentimes, especially in women, if it's not done perfectly, well, then I blew it. It's why bother? I messed it up. And they kind of just like go back to the old behavior versus saying, all right, maybe that wasn't the best idea, the best decision, the best choice, but let me move past and keep on going, right? There's your consistency.
Yeah. And I think recovery is from, you know, those missteps. Cause again, like you said, it's not about being perfect whatsoever. Right. That's not even a thing. But, you know, going back to that judgment-free, you know, be judgment-free with yourself. Remember, you've been running the same game, the same program for your whole life. It's not going to change overnight, and you get to try again. That recovery is so critical, and it starts again with mindset. Knowing, right. You know, today is another day, and not even, you know, from day to day, but moment to moment, because there's so many, you know, opportunities that we're presented with to not take care of ourselves, to not eat food that's, you know, best for us, to, you know, skip out on the workout, or all of these different sort of things, or, you know, not take a moment of relaxation or pause or quiet for ourselves. There's so many opportunities to skip out on all of those things. So just be patient with yourself, That's the most important thing. And remember, like, it's a process. If you keep going, you will eventually get into a flow of things, just like you got into a flow of things of the habits that you're already doing right now. Exactly. And I tell people, I like to say, I don't remember who I heard this story from, and I wish I could, so I can give proper attribution, but it's like, if you say, I need to get some butter from the store, right? And you go to the store, and a third of the way there, you turn around, you come back. And you're like, shoot. I need to get that butter though, because I'm making, you know, what have you. So you go to the store, you get halfway there, you turn on back. Do you think you're ever going to get your butter? Do you think you're ever going to get your result if you keep turning around? No, stop giving up on yourself. Stop turning around and just know that this is a process. It's nothing, again, nothing to be perfect with. That's never the aim. But keep going, because you're worth that.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You know, just kind of like the self-love, the self-compassion, right? Then the no judgment, no self-judgment, kind of love yourself and be compassionate to yourself the way you would be to a family member or a friend, and put that on yourself. And you'll notice just how different you start to feel, right? Well, you know, Lauren, I feel like we unpacked so much here in just like this short period of time. So thank you. And I know you have a gift for our listeners today. Could you tell them a little bit about that?
Yes, I'm so excited to give this one away. This is called My Tiny Tummy Secrets. So I like to say within my story, I came for the vanity, but I stayed for the sanity. And a lot, that's a big question that, you know, I get is, how do I get a flat stomach? How do I slim down? And I'm holistic, of course. So I do it in the way that we've talked about so far. So I talk about it's my waist reduction guide. I talk about 4 strategies to help you really slim down and trim up to 6 inches off of your waist in just 2 weeks. Wow. So I love that program. It's tinytummysecrets.com, my waist reduction guide. And I'm giving that to you guys for free.
Oh, excellent. And where can they find you if they want to know more about you and the work that you do?
Yes. So you can find me at purposefulwellnesswithlauren.com and on all social media at that same name, Purposeful Wellness with Lauren.
Okay. Well, great. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for being here. I feel like everybody walked away with some really useful tips and information, and to be able to start thinking in a different way. So, and that's really invaluable. So thank you so much. Thank you for being here with us today. And thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, everybody, thank you for being here. And until tomorrow, have a great rest of your day.